All right. Your schedule here. Today is the 13th of September. And we talked about the heart. Now, the next two, Bill, for the most part, meets every other Saturday. The next two every other Saturdays that we'll meet up, there's things going on that I would love to have you be a part of, if at all possible. The first is a Ligonier conference. I think it's filled up full, so you may not be able to be a part of it. Does anybody get signed up for that? You're going to try to? Excellent. Okay, those of us who are going to be going, that's on next Saturday.
It's not Saturday afternoon, two weeks.
2 weeks, okay. Our responsibility is we're going to kind of, what I want you to do, those of you who are going to that conference, Ligonier is just the ministry of R.C. Sproul. Just had a major impact on the church in America his whole lifetime. And he's really getting to the end of his life. He's really weary. He's physically weak. But he just has an amazing schedule that he keeps going. They plan for him every hour of his day down to the naps that he takes. And he comes to conferences like this, and he is able to get up and do what he does, and then he's pretty much done. And he's just going to keep going until he can't do it anymore. He's an amazing man, a great man. John MacArthur will be there at the conference as well. And Ligon Duncan, who's a part of the Together for the Gospel team and Gospel Coalition and Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, I think, and whatnot. Three great men. And our job, any of us who are going, our job is to listen, not just for ourselves or our own hearts to what we need to get, but we need to listen for this group and be able to come back. And we're going to take, eventually on the 25th, some time together and just talk out loud together, share what we got from the conference from that, okay? The other thing that on October 11th, that I hope all of you will come to, because we're going to be talking about these very things, Discipline 1, 2, 3, and 4, is Camelback Bible Church, where I was at before I came here. They are doing their men's retreat, and they asked me to speak at it, and they said, we want you to bring your church along. And so this is great. This is what we need, to be involved with other churches that are like-minded and have a similar vision and whatnot. And actually, two of their other churches that they've planted, Roosevelt Community Church downtown in Phoenix, and Way of Grace, way out in, is it Buckeye? I think they're in Buckeye. Is that right? They're going to be coming as well. So it's going to be four churches together. And I'm just going to address Discipline 1, the heart, the home, and the ministry. And then we might get into the qualifications, or we might do a summary of those three. So we're going to have four messages over that weekend on it. And it's two nights. It's a Friday night, the 10th, Friday night, Saturday night, the 11th. And then we come home midday Sunday. I think it's $149. I don't have the thing in front of me. But I would love for all of you to go. And if money is a challenge for you on that, I want you to talk to me, and we'll figure out a way to scholarship you or budget you or whatever we can to get you to pay what you can pay. But I want you to all go. I want that to be like our next session of Build Together, where we talk about these things and get good fellowship together. And meet some other guys in some other churches who are trying to do the same thing that we're doing in their own churches. And then on October 25th, we'll come back and we'll talk about the men's retreat, we'll talk about the Ligonier Conference, and we'll break up and talk about your green sheet, your individual leadership plan, okay, and go over that. And then from there on out to the end, it'll pretty much be every other Saturday until Christmas break, and then we'll pick it back up in January, and you kind of see the disciplines we're dealing with. And if you'll notice, primarily in our schedule, we weigh really heavy on disciplines 1, 2, and 3, and mostly disciplines 1 and 2, because what we're finding is that if we work on those two things first and most, the other stuff comes naturally and will come as a result easy. So we want to work on those things. We'll finish the year. That's not right. Oh, she called it the boot. That's right. The 14th and session 14 and 15 on the biblical theological practical is actually going to be hermeneutics. How should we really study the Bible? And we're going to get to that. And I want to explain build in the setting of everything else, and then I'm going to let you guys go today because you've taken an earful and a half. build in the overall of what we're trying to do in the church is, if the men in the church who show up to a Sunday go from this hand to this hand, we need at some point, I'd love for us to have a men's ministry. And maybe something will happen in regards to this men's retreat that will spark some of you to think about that. But we need a men's ministry that basically grabs every man from one end of the church to the other, that just tries to do some basic things and just says, we're men in this church, let's gather together, and let's be about this when we're together. Word of God, fellowship, challenging one another, growing, and whatnot. So men's ministry needs to reach the full spectrum across. I would view build as grabbing a subset within that. We're calling out men from that, and we're saying, look, we're going to ask you to make a commitment for a year. It's every other Saturday. It's early in the morning, and it's focusing on these disciplines. And the whole point is to try to funnel guys into it so that they are rallied around and united around these disciplines. And these are things that we'll never graduate from and build. And then as this is getting rooted in our lives, then we have the next layer of leadership development after that that we call H3, which SMED leads and started this last summer. And it is the heart, the head, and the hands. And so it continues on with this whole theme of we want to make sure that we're taking care of the heart. We want to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of the Word of God. And this needs to make a difference practically with our hands, how we minister to people. And what, in fact, Smith, tell us just what a typical class is, or a typical Tuesday morning is like.
First 15 minutes or so we'll spend looking at the heart and just reflecting on various heart issues as it relates to some of the things Scott has mentioned today. To things like, how do you address sin? What does repentance look like? How is your evangelism? Those kinds of things. And then we'll spend the majority of the time, about an hour plus, on systematic theology and church history. Just looking at what the Bible has to say about various theological issues. And then we'll take the last section of our time together, and we're concentrating on hermeneutics leading towards being able to, that's how to study the Bible, leading toward how to teach the Bible, either as a small group leader, or preaching a sermon, or various other ways that we teach. So kind of hands-on, learning how to study and teach the Bible.
What's the theological section you're in, right, that you did this last week?
What did we just do? Pneumatology.
Which is?
Study the Holy Spirit, what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit.
Okay. What are you doing next?
And now we're on the Trinity.
So that is after guys who have been in build, we want to call to be in that. There's no bypassing build to get to that unless there's a real rare exception. Because one of the other challenges that you can create for yourself is get guys excited about theology, but they're not taking care of their hearts. And can a guy take care of his heart without build? I have no doubt he can. People have been doing it for a long time. But here we want to try to be intentional to address that subject, and then we want to give men who have that discipline ingrained in their hearts and in their lives, let's do some theology, and let's think rightly about theology. And then I'm hoping that out of that comes deacons, elders, pastors. I'm hoping that at some point we're going to have some way to formally train guys for pastoral ministry and missions right here in our church, maybe partnered with some other churches as well. So, I know it's exciting to watch what God's doing and to be patient and just be faithful. In the meantime, take care of your heart. It's your first and foremost responsibility. That needs to make an impact in the place you live and the people you serve with. And you should be striving for the qualifications that are spelled out for elders and for deacons in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1. And we'll take a look at those this year as well. Omri.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
How is shepherding your heart supposed to be done in light of Romans 6? Like, how does that fit in?
Great. Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I love that question. I sat with a guy on Friday. No, Thursday. And we talked about this very thing. He's battling sin in his life. He doesn't want it. Recognizes that he's not taking care of his heart. And it was so much fun together to say, what did we learn from Romans 6? The way that you shepherd your heart in light of Romans 6 is, I've memorized a thing that summarizes Romans 6 for me. It's this. By God's grace, God united me to Christ crucified and Christ raised so that I might be powerfully freed from the tyranny of sin to undoubtedly become slaves of God, of righteousness, and obedience. And I picked God, righteousness, and obedience because that's what's mentioned three times in the latter half of Romans 6. We are slaves of God, we are slaves of righteousness, we are slaves of obedience. So how do you shepherd your heart? Those are the grace realities of the gospel. That's grace proposition, that's grace truth, grace statement, grace fact. And first and foremost, that kind of statement needs to be what you drag before your carcass every day. And every time you sin, and every time you are tempted to go towards a guilt that makes you feel like you should do penance, you preach that gospel to your heart over and over and over again. I tell you what, it is the biggest challenge of faith, because you will feel like you're not doing something. You should be doing something. I need more accountability. I need more rules. I need to stop this. I need to start that, and you'll feel better because you're doing something. And we don't think that preaching the gospel to ourselves is doing something. It's doing the most important thing. And if the gospel is the power of God for salvation and for sanctification, if we really believe it, we will sit still. We will be on our knees. We will have our Bibles open, and we will pray over our sin and preach to our sin and preach to our hearts that I have been united by God's grace to Christ crucified and to Christ raised from the dead for a purpose, so that I would be powerfully free from the tyranny of lust, from the tyranny of anxiety, from the tyranny of pride. You make your list of whatever it is. I've been powerfully freed from that. That's gospel truth. That is grace reality. It's powerful. Two, undoubtedly, there's no doubt about what God is intending with the grace of God in the gospel. It is to become a slave. It is to be obedient to God, to righteousness, to obedience. Preach that to yourself over and over and over. First and most. And you never graduate from that. You never graduate from that. Because we never graduate from the gospel. And there's power there. Now, whether or not you and I believe that and do that might be another thing we've got to talk about. But that's where the power is. And will that lead you at the end of the day to have done nothing? No. It will lead you to regulation in the Word of God. Namely, Christ's regulation, and you will obey it. It may take time, but you want to start there, you want to live there, you want to pitch your tent there, you want to park there, and then you want to watch what comes from that, obedience-wise. Okay? One of my great questions. Does that answer? All right, guys, that is all I want to do today. That's plenty for you. So I'm going to pray. And then you guys can finish up whatever is left over there. You can hang around as much as you want. You can go back home and go to bed. You can do whatever you want. You can go home and shepherd your heart. You can do whatever you need to do. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how powerful it is. Thank you for what it reveals to us about our hearts. Thank you for what it reveals about you, that you are a God concerned with the heart. You'd be totally just in just condemning and having the flood kill everyone. But you are concerned to save sinners. And we are the foremost of sinners as we sit and look at our own hearts, Lord. Prone to pride, prone to deception, stubborn and hard, constantly in need of softening again and again and again. And yet you come near in the cross of your Son, and you take and put upon your Son there that hardness of heart in sin. And you judge it on our behalf, for us. And you give to us that new heart that you promised long ago, from Moses on. The cry of a new heart has come from the cross of Jesus. And it is ours by your grace that you have given to us through faith and repentance, Lord. What an amazing thing you have done in the Bible to unfold this whole story and these wonderful grace realities. I pray, Lord, that you would work powerfully in my own life. Help me to take better care of my own heart with your word. Help my brothers here to do it. Protect them. Protect me, protect us. Help us to be watchful and careful with one another, showing concern and humility and interest in one another and what we're doing with our hearts, that we might grow these hearts up tall and strong in your word. And then, God, I pray that you will lead these men to areas of ministry to lead in your good timing, so that this church is strong with the gospel in the ways that it needs to be strong in this community and around the world to the ends of the earth. And Father, never let these men, never let me think that we can have a day off from this, because we can't. We need each other, but most of all, we need you. And we're thankful for what you have done in the cross of your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.